Hey there, everybody. So today I want to talk about you. Or more accurately, the unsettling possibility that you might not actually exist. Not in the way that you think, anyway. Don't worry, this isn't a simulation theory rant. This is far better. This is about how the self is an illusion. But like most illusions, capitalism, happy hour, family reunions, it's a very convincing one. So you wake up, you drink your coffee, you check your phone for that morning dopamine hit. You think, I am a person. I exist. I'm in here, somewhere, probably behind the eyes, running the show. But what is that? That little narrator in your head? The one with the hot takes, the anxiety, the running monologue like you're starring in a low-budget indie film? That's what we call the self. Or at least, that's what we think it is. But what if that narrator isn't the real you? What if the narrator is an illusion? So let's bring in one of the smoothest talking philosophers of the 20th century. Alan Watts. British accent, Buddhist robes, sounded like a wise old wizard who could drink you under the table and then explain the nature of reality while lighting a cigarette. Watts often said, "You are an aperture through which the universe is looking at and exploring itself." Sounds beautiful. Also sounds like something you'd hear at a drum circle at Burning Man. But stick with me. Watts argued that what we call the self is just a kind of mental construct, an idea, a hallucination the brain has about itself. You're not the voice in your head. You're not your thoughts. You're not even your name. Your job, or your Myers-Briggs type. You are process. You are happening. Like a wave isn't separate from the ocean, it is the ocean doing wave stuff, if that makes any sense. Watts didn't invent this idea, of course. He was just very good at explaining it to Westerners in leather shoes who'd never meditated and thought Zen was just a sushi restaurant. All right, so let's go back 2,500 years. The Buddha, Siddhartha Gautama, sits under a tree, reaches enlightenment, and comes back with a revelation that should have come with a warning label. There is no self. This idea is called anatta, one of the three marks of existence in Buddhist philosophy. It says that what we call me is actually a temporary collection of parts, thoughts, feelings, memories, habits, trauma, ego. Netflix preferences, all bundled together into something that seems cohesive, but isn't. It's like looking at a sandcastle and thinking it's a building. It looks real, it feels permanent, but one wave and poof, just grains. The self is like that, a shape made of shifting parts. Now, before you accuse me of going full monk, let's drag in some science to ruin your day in a whole new way. Neuroscience can't locate a fixed self in the brain. There's no little guy in a chair pulling levers. There's no singular command center that says, "This is Steve. Steve likes spaghetti. Steve hates crowds. Steve thinks about death every 12 minutes." Instead, what we have is a bundle of networks firing off based on sensory input, past experiences, and unconscious drives. You're more like a committee of personalities in a trench coat trying to pass as a single person. And the brain? It edits the story in real time to make you feel consistent. Because if it didn't, you'd be screaming into a mirror at 3 a.m. trying to remember who you are, which, well, let's be honest, you probably do anyway. So here's the thing. The self feels so damn real. It remembers your childhood. It knows your traumas. It has preferences and playlists and a curated online identity. But you've probably noticed that identity shifts. You were a different you at age 12, 22, 42. Some of those versions were smarter, some dumber, and some had worse hair. So, which one was the real you then? All of them? None of them? Identity is more like a playlist on shuffle. You think it's a cohesive album, but it's really just your brain DJing based on mood, environment, and how much sleep you got. So what really holds the illusion together is ego. Ego is the internal marketing team. It creates the story of you. It's the voice that says, "I'm this kind of person. I don't do that. I believe in these things. I'm better than that guy eating string cheese in traffic." It's useful. It gives us continuity, goals, pride. But it's also the thing that gets hurt, offended, obsessed, jealous, addicted. It's basically the voice that just won't shut up. It's why you replay that awkward conversation from 6 years ago in the shower. And like any good illusion, ego will fight like hell to stay relevant. Because if you realize that the story is fake, the narrator loses its job. Now, you might be thinking, if there's no real me, what's the point of anything? A good question. Should I just lie down and melt into the floor? And honestly, maybe. But here's the plot twist. Not having a fixed self is actually freeing. You're not trapped in a single identity. You can change. You can grow. You're not that bad thing that you did. You're not the worst day of your life. You're not a noun. You're a verb. Not a statue, a wave. Not a character, a constantly rewriting script. It's, and I'll admit, it's kind of terrifying, but I think it's also liberating. Because when you stop clinging to a false sense of self, the world opens up. You can laugh more, judge less, live lighter, let go. You stop playing the game of who am I? And you start asking better questions, like, who am I becoming? What am I experiencing right now? What happens if I stop performing? Okay, so how do you live like this without becoming a puddle of anxiety? Here's a few survival tools for the self-optional life. Number one, meditation. Not to find yourself, but to watch yourself dissolve. To see that your thoughts are just clouds, your emotions weather, and you're the sky. Meditation is really about letting things come, observing them, and letting them go over and over and over throughout our lives. Number two, detach from the story. You don't have to be the anxious one, the overachiever, the loser, the savior, etc. You're allowed to rewrite the script or scrap it entirely. Number three, laugh at the illusion. Take it seriously, sure, but not too seriously. You're a temporary pattern in a sea of chaos. So you might as well try to enjoy the ride. Number four, practice compassion. If no one has a fixed self, guess what? That jerk off who cut you off in traffic is also a swirling mass of ego and delusion, just like you. So maybe give him a pass or a middle finger, but with empathy. So yeah, the self is probably an illusion. A very detailed, very compelling, very high maintenance illusion. But even if you are just a bundle of neurons and stories and survival mechanisms wrapped in skin, you still get to choose what kind of story to tell. You still get to laugh at the madness. You still get to feel love, pain, beauty, absurdity, the whole damn thing. Even if there's no fixed you experiencing it. And maybe that's enough. Because in the end, maybe the point of life isn't to find yourself, but to lose yourself in art, in nature, in silence, whatever. In the beautiful absurdity of everything. Now, go stare into the void and have a nice day. Thanks for watching.